Barbie Chin, Kyle Draper, already on vacay. So we called in a couple of all-stars, Chris Forsberg of ESPN, and of course, NBA Finals MVP Cedric Maxwell. Guys, thanks so much for joining us.
Abby, the Celtics might have missed out on getting two stars this summer. They only got one, but you got two right here.
We do.
This has been a success.
This is a great, great success. I'm taking the win, absolutely. All right, a lot to talk about tonight. We are going to take an overview of the Celtics offseason so far, good or bad. We will talk about taking Isaiah Thomas to the max. Are you on board? And we're going to forecast the future, play a little game of over-under with the young guys. But let's start with, of course, Gordon Hayward. Big name free agent, second straight summer max. The Celtics have landed a big name free agent. Boston, a bona fide free agent destination now?
Well, it starts to look like that. I think that when you looked at the Celtics before, no free agents were coming here. But now, all of a sudden, you get an opportunity of guys starting to sign. They look at Brad Stevens. They look at the organization. They look at the Celtics on the uptick. And because of that, their opportunities are starting to be greater. The destination is this one now. And, you know, think of it this way. Celtics beat out Miami when you think about getting Hayward. And so if you're Hayward, the warm weather, no state income taxes,
exactly.
And then you go, wow. So obviously there had to be something.
And left a promising situation in Utah.
Yeah, and let's face it. I mean, that's tough, and especially when you know when a guy is ingrained in a team and in a society. You know, how do you wrestle them away? I mean, we all knew he had this relationship with Brad Stevens, but we didn't know it was enough that Brad Stevens could pull him away from that situation. Again, it speaks to the value of Brad Stevens. It speaks to the value of where the Celtics are as a team right now. You know, again, to go out there and get the best top available guy who wasn't necessarily going back to his team speaks well of the Celtics.
Because you're looking at the Celtics from a standpoint of possibly, if you're Hayward, you're saying, can you win the championship right now in Utah? And you go, nah, we can't compete out there in the world. But in the Eastern Conference right now, you're going, who's better right now at the Celtics if I get on board with them?
Right. He's almost guaranteed a spot in the All-Star team. But let's talk about the player that the Celtics are getting. Max, how do you see him fitting in with this current roster?
Well, he's a guy who can shoot the basketball. He can shoot it. He can put it on the floor. He can play multiple positions. I think that really helps his game out. The thing I think I really like about him, the intelligence of the player and the fact he's already been in Brad's system. When you look at that, you look at a lot of combinations and factors which really say this was a win-win for the Celtics and a win-win for him.
I think about it with Brad took him as a skinny tennis player in Indiana and turned him into a top 10 pick in the NBA.
Oh.
Now we've had 7 years of NBA experience for him to sort of build up. Brad's probably sitting there at home watching tape, just rubbing his hands.
Oh, my gosh. Salivating.
The possibilities.
Yes.
Like Isaiah over here, Gordon over here. Both can handle the ball. Both can run the pick and roll. It's just a really good situation for Boston.
So Gordon was a free agent, but there was a price to pay, though. And the Green had to move either Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, or Marcus Smart to make room under the salary cap. It turned out the best deal was for Avery Bradley, trading him to the Pistons for Marcus Morris and a second-round pick. You saw it there. I'm sad to see Avery go, you guys.
It's tough, and it came back down to, like, what was the path of least resistance? And let's face it, you know, Avery has a contract that was going to be up after this season. It was unlikely that you could play both him and Isaiah that max money. And, you know, let's face it, Avery's going to get 20-plus million on this market. Celtics just couldn't afford to be that team that paid him. But, you know, right now, Jay Crowder is on a long-term sweetheart of a deal. It's easier to keep him around. Marcus Smart, even as a restricted free agent, you'll have an ability to keep him at a lower number. It was just a tough choice. Like, let's face it, Avery helped you on both sides of the ball, and that's going to be tough to replace. But it was had to be done.
That was a business decision,
yes,
which was made. And I like Avery, you and I, and he was one of my favorites. And I talked about him being one of the best two-way players right now in the NBA. But all of a sudden, you make a decision saying, financially, if you look at it, you have to say, you're going to pay Isaiah? Is Avery going to be one of the guys? I almost wish the Celtics could have kept him one more year and let him finish out, even though you don't get anything from
him.
Yeah, you lose for nothing. So I do understand their decision, but again, it's one that I wasn't crazy about because I fell in love with the player and the man and the person.
Yes. And he watched him grow up here.
He's the one constant.
He's the man here.
Ever since 2010 when he got drafted, like the roster has changed over so much, but you could always count on Avery being that shooting guard role.
He was the last link.
Now Marcus Smart, the oldest, the longest tenured player on the Celtics roster.
Crazy. All right, so lose Avery Bradley, but add Marcus Morris and Aaron Baines, big man Aaron Baines. What do you think of those moves, Max?
Don't know much about Morris as I wanted to when I think about him and his brother.
I know.
Now, I know about
you don't know which is which?
I loved his brother in D.C. Mm-hmm. because I got a chance to see him during the playoffs. But what I know about him, he shoots the ball well. He can go inside and out. He has a strong fundamental game. And what I loved about him and his brother, they share the same bank account.
I can't believe that.
That's how close these guys are.
They have the exact same tattoos. Yeah. They share a bank account. Yeah. But two dogs that they're adding,
yeah.
right?
Two guys who are legitimate. And Baines is a big body guy. He loves to be aggressive going in towards the paint. He can help you on the rebounding end, something that you desperately need. So you pick up two bigger body guys who do have talent, who won't sit on the bench and waste away. I do understand, and I like this move for the Seas.
Because they had to shore up the front court.
Exactly.
Baines, right?
And that's another reason that this deal made so much sense, is that they needed to take, they have so much depth at the guard spot, they needed to add in the front court. What I like about Marcus Morris, he's already tagged himself on social media as the Boston Bully. Like, the Celtics need that sort of enforcer
yes.
guy
Beantown
that can go in
bully,
there.
I think he said.
That's right. We'll work that out. But,
yeah.
you know, the guy who can go in there and scrap things up a little bit. And between him and Zizek and Baines, like, they've got enough guys, and Marcus, too, who can go in there and kind of dirty up the game and make things tough on the opposing team.
But Marcus, I think, more of a wing player than people initially thought. There is going to be a logjam of... on the wing, and I know we're playing positionless basketball, but when you see Jason Tatum making an argument in Summer League for some playing time here.
How do you play them all? And that's another thing that Brad's going to figure out. But now, remember, Brad sees the league as three positions. Ball handlers, swings, and bigs.
Yep.
And so he can take whatever three he wants at any given time, throw him in there with a ball handler, Isaiah, with one big, and just figure it out. But it does. It comes down to, you know, where do you find minutes for everybody? I guess you have the luxury of seeing who's playing well, who's not playing well, and figure it out from there.
Well, Brad's position, really, with that, is you think about it. When he's had last year, when you saw Brown play minutes, he gave him a certain amount of minutes. And then when he wasn't playing well, he
took him away.
When he started playing better, he got more minutes. I think it really is incumbent right now upon the player to play well, and then he will get more minutes. Tatum, I like what he does because he can put the ball on the floor. I saw a couple of moves that were, and I don't want to say it too loud, Kevin Garnett-like.
That's what I was going to
say. On the baseline.
Yeah.
I love that. And when I see, and what I mean by that is I see a guy make a move in the NBA, and I go, that's the NBA move. And he had that little baseline shimmy off the wrong leg or foot shooting the basketball. I like that. So I saw some fundamental things in this game that I did love.
Max conducting the Jason Tatum hype train, and I like it. I like it.
I'm a max guy, so I deserve the max. And we just got to continue to take care of business on the court and let the cards fall where they may. But I'm happy for all the guards and all the other guys getting their money because they deserve it. But, I mean, my time's coming. They know they got to bring the Brinks truck out. They know that.
Isaiah Thomas at Summer League talking to our insider, Aisharad Blakely. Guys, what do you think? Do you give Isaiah Thomas? Is he a max contract guy? Max.
I believe he is.
I do too.
The way the
this
NBA,
the
way the
business.
NBA is now, he has become one of the most exciting players the Celtics have had in years. You think about a guy who can bring it. Now, the only thing I definitely say about this is it's a twofold thing. Not only have the Celtics made that, but the Celtics have also made him. Because in this situation, mm-hmm. if he was in Phoenix,
opportunity,
he
right.
would not be in this position. Being here in Boston, he's cashed in, and it's now time for the Celtics to cash in also by paying him.
I think the big question, though, Chris, is it the 5 years?
That's the tough part, right?
Right.
I hear people saying that maybe you could get him at a little bit of a discount. Could you get him at $25 million instead of the 30.9?
And I think he's talking like that.
He is a all-NBA second-teamer.
Right.
He is top five in the MVP voting. He's going to play for $6 million this season, below the mid-level on a tax team. And you're going to go to him and say, listen, you were great. You let us go get Gordon Hayward. You did all this for us.
But
can you take a little bit of a discount? No. I do think they'll come to him and say, listen, you take a three-year deal. You'll have 10 years of service when that's over. Mm-hmm. You can go back into free agency with the ability to command up to 35% of a cap that will then be at $115 million or whatever. He can sign for $35 million at that point. But I do think that they'll initially try, whatever that works out, to 3 years.
Damn it, I was born too soon!
These numbers, I know.
What the heck is going on here? They're giving money away. You want to take it? Anybody on the street? They look, print it out, go get some more out the back. I love it, but my God, I still think, Mom, why couldn't you just wait some years?
How much concern, though, is there, should there be, about the hip, though, Max? Still have not gotten definition out of surgery.
The man is dancing. He's doing, what are we talking about? Abby, we saw him. When they signed Hayward, he was out like, hey, baby, give me some more of that punch and cake. I'm like, are you serious? Talking about this hip? It's okay.
All right.
Where do you put your money at if your hip is that bad? Well, you got to have it in the wallet.
Guys, we're going to play a little game over under forecasting the future. I'll give you some numbers. You tell me what you think. We're going to start with Jason Tatum, the young rookie. Over under how many minutes he averages per game next season? 17 and a half.
Under.
Under.
I think he's going to get a few more minutes. I think it's probably going to be closer to 20. I think he has the ability right now to do a lot of things the Celtics want, talking about rebounding the basketball effectively, shooting the ball from the outside, and more important, he can get his own shot off, which a lot of rookies aren't able to do.
So you think over 17?
Over 17.
Said under. Jalen Brown averaged 17, so that's our baseline.
I was just about to say, I'll give you a reason why he might go over. Again, just like Max said, he has a skill set that might allow him to get on the floor and be contributed like that, but I think it's under. Just too many wings. Goes back to it. It's going to be tough for him when you got Jalen Brown already ahead of you, Marcus Morris, Gordon Hayward. You know, it's going to get difficult for him to find minutes. But again,
great players find a way to give them minutes on the floor. And I think he's going to be a great player. So I think you're going to give him more minutes than you would maybe somebody else.
All right. Twitter agrees with you. The Twitter sphere said 57% think the over. All right. Our next over-under, Jaylen Brown, averaged 6.5 points per game last season in the regular season. Over-under, he'll average 11.5 points.
Yes, I think he will. I think he'll average over 11 points this year because I think he'll get more opportunities. I think he's a lot more explosive with the basketball. He's starting to understand who he was at the end of the season, mm-hmm. shooting the basketball, and his athletic ability to get towards the hole.
I'm going over as well because you think about it. How do we think the Celtics lineup is going to look, the starting lineup? They got that void at the two-guard spot, or however you want to call it, on the wing. And I think Jalen has a very good potential to be the guy to step up, even though he's younger, even though it would be going small and pushing Jay Crowder to the four, Al Horford to the five. I think there's an opportunity there for him to step up. I think they like his size, his ability to defend. But then that's going to create opportunities offensively.
Yeah.
You know, you're out there with Isaiah and Gordon Hayward. Those shots get a lot easier.
I agree with you guys, and so do the fans. 62% took the over on that one. All right, one more over under. Celtics wins next season. We're setting the bar high at 59.5 after 53 last season, but add Gordon Hayward. No. Max, this is the first under you're taking.
Oh, no.
First
optimism.
Under.
I'm not, Mr. Optimism doesn't go for 59
doesn't go that
games.
High. Right.
I might get 55, I might get 54, yes. But I don't think they make a leap of about 5 or 6 games going up to 59. I just don't see it being that high.
I think the toughest part is you've got new parts here, right? So you've got to figure out how to integrate Gordon Hayward. You've got to figure out how he works with Isaiah Thomas. You have all these wings. There's going to be some experimentation at the start of the year, and I think it's just natural. Brad's going to mix and match, and maybe that causes a loss or two along the way, but I think that'll drive down the win total a little bit.
I'm with you guys. Vegas says 54 wins, but Celtics fans, 51% took the over. So they are very high on this
team. For everybody.
All right, we're going to switch it up a little bit, play one game of take your pick. Who's going to lead the Celtics in scoring next season, Isaiah Thomas or Gordon Hayward?
Isaiah. And the reason why, because I hope it doesn't happen, but he's also going to be thinking about that new contract, that new deal, that he's going to have to shoot the ball. He's going to have to score those kind of points to be that effective scorer. So I think he'll, again, be the leading scorer for this team.
Jason Tatum's not an option? Like, come on!
There are a lot of points to go around.
There are a lot of points to go around. And just making up for Avery's loss. But, you know, Gordon Hayward will step up and provide some of that missing offense. I am interested to see how the balance goes. Both Isaiah and Gordon like having the ball in their hands. So how do they balance that out? How do they figure out where points come from? Where do they go in the final minute? You know, when they need that go-to basket, is it still Isaiah? Is it still Mr. King in the fourth? Or is Gordon Hayward clutch enough to step up?
I think that Isaiah is a setup guy. He can do that better than anybody on this team. And we saw him do that late in basketball games. Instead of being the shooter, he was the facilitator. So there are times when he has the basketball, you have to have it in his hand and let him make the proper read and decision.
And he will be more open playing next to Gordon Hayward. So Twitter agrees with you guys as well. 74% said Isaiah Thomas.